More than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to a previously recorded edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. Enjoy.
So I heard you're back in town and haven't changed a bit, man. You get off talking down to the little man. Time you get what you deserve. Wow, you're so stupid. Been a while since my head was this polluted. Lucky I know my own worth. So you wanna fight me? Are you big enough? Kick the back of my knee. Are you serious? You keep on trying, boy. I like your blood on my teeth, just a little too much. So bite me, slap me around the face. Now I'm twisting your arm till I hear it break. I get stronger every day. Cut the gun from a gangster. Run, little girl, run, little girl, bang. Ha.
Say that again, I didn't quite hear ya. Mess with the wrong bitch in the wrong era. I've been a war guy,
I'm gonna tell you, you don't wanna mess with me today.
I've changed so much since I last saw ya.
It's the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've been promising you for a couple of days now that I was gonna break down the utter hypocrisy, stupidity, lack of integrity, an utter failure to be candid with Wisconsinites that is coming from the conservatives on the Wisconsin Supreme Court and their co-conspirators, talking about you, Robin Voss. The circus act that has occurred since Justice Protasiewicz's election is beneath the standard of decorum and civility that no matter how deep and frustrating the disagreements on a Supreme Court may get, should be observed by all justices. And at the root of this is not just rabid hypocrisy, because apparently conservatives in this state, including some of these same Supreme Court justices, have no recollection of what occurred prior to this year on the court. They simply have forgotten. But of course they haven't. They're choosing to be dishonest with Wisconsinites, and I'm over it. Because I remember, and I care deeply. Our Supreme Court used to be one of the most vaunted, one of the most enviable in the nation. And it is now a laughingstock. And that laughingstock is not the responsibility of any liberal justice on this court. So let's dive in, my friends. If you want to join the conversation today, 844-967-2789. I always want to hear from you. But this is sort of a PSA. This is an explainer show. And there's so much history here. There's so much detail. And you all deserve to know it and to understand it. Because what is being said right now has no relationship to fact or truth. There are three issues that are being bandied about right now about the Supreme Court. And they are all the result, all of this angst, all of this acrimony is because conservatives cannot accept what? They can't accept the results of elections. It is no more and no less than that. And they will deploy any rhetorical device, any conceit, any distraction to confuse and mislead Wisconsinites. The three issues that are literally every day now on the front page of the Journal Sentinel and now making its way almost daily into the national press. Are these things the liberal majority, the new liberal majority on the Supreme Court, took action nearly immediately after the current Chief Justice of the Supreme Court refused to schedule any meetings to discuss court administration following the swearing in of the newest justice? And so the liberal bloc, basically via emails, convened what you could call like almost a virtual meeting, or asked the justices to weigh in about changing some of the administration rules of the Supreme Court. That's issue number one, okay? And the Chief Justice and her unbalanced fellow justice, Rebecca Bradley, who's been busily spending her time editing her own Wikipedia page. Yeah, if you're laughing right now, that's a thing. editing her own Wikipedia page from an email address that clearly identified it as her. So Justice Ziegler and Justice Bradley, losing their minds over now the majority of the court wanting to have a say in court administration. You know, because elections have results, but apparently not for them. So that's issue one. Issue two is the demand for Justice Protasiewicz, the newly sworn in justice, as part of the now majority liberal bloc on the court, to recuse herself from the legal challenges to Wisconsin's gerrymandered maps because during her campaign, she said that the maps were rigged. That's issue two. Issue three is that Robin Voss and others are now threatening to impeach Justice Protasiewicz if she does not recuse herself. So I want to take these things within their historical context to hopefully definitively prove to every single person listening, no matter what side of the fence or aisle you are on, that this is all garbage. Let me just make this point at the outset. First of all, no regular people care who the director of the court system is. It's an administrative position. It's about keeping cases moving. No one cares. The only people that care are the justices on the Supreme Court. That's it. And yet there are lawsuits and emails and accusations, and the Chief Justice is calling the liberal bloc lawless, that they're suborning destruction of the Constitution and the judiciary. This is nothing short of an unprecedented coup. This must stop. I have no confidence in the recent hostile takeover in the court. No one cares who the court's director is. Just do the job. Because there are more pressing matters. If you're interested in the tone and tenor of the emails that have gone back and forth between the Chief Justice and the liberal bloc, largely led by Justice Rebecca Bradley, they're available on the Journal Sentinel website. I'm not going to spend my time reading them. Suffice it to say, my opinion, and I'm happy to read it if we need to go there, if people want to dispute my characterization of this. Suffice it to say, Chief Justice Ziegler is using some of the most inflammatory, incendiary language that I have ever heard from a jurist. And she's not using it in a case. She's using it to characterize and basically denigrate her fellow justices. In contrast, the liberal bloc has said, in effect, yes, we are changing the rules, but we get to do that because we now have a majority of the court. Thanks much. So on this first issue of courts administration and how different decisions are made about how the court functions, there are a couple of really important little contextual pieces. Important fact number one. Anya, when do you think the Supreme Court may have selected its most recently elected, quote, Chief Justice? Like, when might have they gathered to do that?
Oh, my goodness. I feel like the kid in the back of the class who was half asleep, and now I'm getting called on.
I'll give you a hint. How about that?
Okay, I want a hint.
No.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to, like, actually sandbag you.
Okay,
so,
thanks.
If you were conservatives on the court, mm-hmm. and the election in April.
April, okay.
Right? The election mm-hmm. was in April, and now a liberal mm-hmm. has been elected. And so now you conservatives won't have control over the court.
Oh, no.
And the justice isn't going to be sworn in until August. Okay. When would you convene as the conservative bloc on that court to select a chief justice of the court?
Well, I had from April till August. I would have said, let's get started right away in April. Does that make sense?
Well, it was May.
May? Oh.
Yes. Huh. So they picked the new chief justice in May. After the election. Like, let's not wait until the new justice is sworn in and then convene to select a new chief justice. Would it surprise anyone to know that chief justices of the Supreme Court of Wisconsin used to be, by constitution, simply the longest standing member of the Supreme Court?
Interesting.
Would it surprise you to find out that Republicans pushed for a constitutional amendment to change that in 2015 because Justice Shirley Abramson, lauded nationwide as one of the most brilliant jurists our country has ever seen in a state Supreme Court, had been on the court for so long that basically absent her death, no one was ever going to replace her as Chief Justice? Would it surprise you that they changed the rules in 2015?
Huh. It wouldn't surprise me, unless perhaps is she maybe not politically aligned with them somehow and rules had to be changed?
Yes.
How incredibly strange.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So again, change the rules in 2015 via constitutional amendment so that one of the nation's most respected state Supreme Court jurists can no longer be the Chief Justice. And then after your side loses the April election, you convene to select a new Chief Justice, you know, right after that, before the new justice is sworn in. I hope everybody's with me. That, to me, is issue number one, done. Again, if you want to compare tone, go ahead and find it on the Journal Sentinel. We got to go to break. When we come back, I'm going to move on to what I think are the much more important questions, the questions of recusal and impeachment.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to a previously recorded edition of The Maggie Dawn Show. Enjoy.
Welcome back. You're seeing me in sort of rant mode today because I'm a lawyer. I care about the administration of justice. And I also care deeply that those that hold these positions of power, including myself, are always held to account. And hypocrisy and lies of omission and rhetoric unbecoming a sitting Supreme Court justice, these things bother me. And so we're talking about the three things that are going on in the Supreme Court. Thing one is the administration of the Supreme Court and who gets to decide certain things. And I've made a case in the prior block that this is garbage. First of all, Wisconsinites generally don't care about, like, the minutia of court's administration. They just want it to work. By the way, if we want to be technical about this, the jurisdictions with the greatest administration challenges are the Milwaukee County Circuit Court, because we're the biggest. And COVID, we had to shut courts down. It was a mess. So the liberal bloc, once Janet Protasiewicz was sworn in, they basically fired the Supreme Court director, who's an administrative type, and appointed a then-sitting judge from Milwaukee County Circuit Court. Now, before the break, I made the point that all of these arguments from the conservatives, of, and particularly Chief Justice Ziegler, about, oh, this is such a travesty and they're disgracing the court, is all garbage. Because the conservatives got together in May after Janet was elected and, you know, appointed and selected Chief Justice Ziegler as the Chief Justice, instead of doing what any fair-minded individual, least of which a judge, would do, is, and that is wait for their colleague to be sworn in and then have that meeting where they elect a Chief Justice. But they didn't want to do that because they would have lost. They also omit, of course, the fact that Republicans changed the rules in 2015, that the Supreme Court Chief Justice is no longer chosen by length of tenure on the court, but rather by election. Here's the last fact I want to say to hopefully close that door definitively on the entire garbage position of the conservatives on this issue, number one. And that is the person that the liberal bloc selected to become the acting court's administrator, again, I just mentioned, was a sitting Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge. Ani, here's another fun quiz.
Oh, no. Okay.
Who do you think appointed that person?
Hmm. Wow.
She didn't win an election. She was appointed. She was in her fifth year. So that's a hint right there. You have to go back 5 years. Who was the governor five years ago?
Oh, my goodness. Was it perhaps Scott Walker? It couldn't have been.
Oh, bingo!
Really?
They're upset because the liberals have asked someone to now take over court administration who was appointed to be a judge by Scott Walker. It's just the fact that it wasn't the person that the conservatives wanted. It literally, come on, you can't make it up. So I'll do. This isn't an issue that anybody except for the Chief Justice cares about because her wings have gotten clipped. So stop with that. You can judge the tone in these emails, which I think is insane coming from the right-wing bloc, yourself. So let's move on to the stuff that actually matters. Issue number two. It's the McLaughlin Group. Jack Jaman. This is probably before your time. There was an SNL skit about this old PBS political talk show.
Yep.
Good stuff, that. So issue number two is recusal. Should Justice Protasiewicz have to recuse herself from the gerrymandering decisions, or excuse me, the gerrymandering lawsuit that's now going to make its way to the Supreme Court? The basis for the motion that was filed asking for her to recuse herself is that during her campaign, Justice Protasiewicz said that Wisconsin's legislative maps are rigged. Okay? Now, in fairness and with balance, I'm going to say this. If I had been her lead campaign advisor, I probably would have told her to use different language. I would have told her to say that the maps are not proportional. What do I mean by that? Since 2012, so basically as soon as the maps were finally locked in after the 2010 census, because there was litigation about those maps, here's what has happened. Democrats have won basically about 53%, sometimes a little bit more than that, sometimes a little bit less, but generally at least 50% or more of statewide votes for the Wisconsin Assembly. The numbers vary a little bit when you're looking at Senate, but if you looked at the votes statewide, right, Democrats are getting at least half and sometimes well more than half of the votes. Since 2012, Democrats have never had 40% of the seats in the Assembly. So we get half or more than half, but we never get more than 40% of the seats. In contrast, conservatives have basically won as little as 45% of the vote, but they always get no less than 60% of the seats. So let's just summarize it this way. Dems get well over half. They get less than 40%. Republicans never get half, and they always get more than 60% of the seats. That is what you call not proportional representation. Some might use a word like rigged. That, my friends, is a factual observation. So when I come back, I'm going to tell you why observation of facts.
Time on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to a previously recorded edition of The Maggie Dawn Show. Enjoy.
Fired up today, everybody. I'm trying to rein it in so I can do the explainer. So, conservatives are asking Justice Protasiewicz to recuse herself from the cases challenging Wisconsin legislative districts as unconstitutional. And before the break, that I explained, I hope with some clarity, that it is a factual observation by then candidate Protasiewicz to say that the maps are gerrymandered. Excuse me, that the maps are rigged. Because the reality has been that Democrats do better than Republicans when you add up the votes statewide, and yet are relegated to a almost powerless minority in both the Assembly and Senate, in the Wisconsin State Legislature. That is not proportional representation. That is not one person, one vote, in my opinion. And I've heard Robin Voss, and in the request, the motion that was filed to try to force the justice to recuse herself, they've made the statement repeatedly that by calling the maps rigged, she has prejudged the case. And I happened to be listening to TMJ this morning. And Robin Voss was, in fact, on TMJ, the station that should otherwise remain nameless. And when asked about this, he made this argument. What if you or someone you love was accused of a crime, and the judge that was about to hear that case said publicly that you were guilty before your case was heard by the judge? Wouldn't that be unfair? Of course, we all would say, yes, that's terrible. 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 If you're a certain sports commentator. But that is not the correct analogy. Again, in all candor, I would have advised then candidate Protasiewicz to use different words, like this is not proportional. But here's what. The actual analogy to what she said would be this, because what she made was a factual representation. Those facts aren't disputable. So here's the analogy that I suggest is the real analogy. Everyone remembers the Waukesha parade tragedy. It is an indisputable fact that that man drove his car through that parade and killed people. So the analogy to what Justice Protasiewicz said when she was a candidate would be this, that the judge hearing that case would have said publicly, this man killed those people and injured those people. That is indisputably, factually true. What that statement doesn't address is whether or not that man was competent to stand trial and whether or not the prosecution was going to be able to prove that he acted with intent such that he is guilty as adjudged by a jury of first-degree intentional homicide. That's the legal issue there. So the Voss analogy is meaningless. It's a lie. Here's what the Supreme Court has based, the U.S. Supreme Court, not the Wisconsin Supreme Court, has basically said that rigged maps to a certain extent are constitutional. As distasteful as that may be, that's kind of what they said in not so many words, because, you know, Scalia, Thomas, Roberts. So what then candidate Protasiewicz was saying, she was making a factual observation. What she didn't say was that the rigging is so bad that it is unconstitutional under the Wisconsin Constitution. That's actually the prejudgment. So I want to dispel this substantive idea that what she said is obviously and of course prejudgment. It's not. And in fact, since the last gerrymandering case was heard by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the law has changed. So she hasn't prejudged that. That's nonsense. Now, a little interesting factoid here, because of course I pulled the documents. I pulled the motion to recuse filed by Republicans from the state legislature. And then I pulled the response that was filed today. The motion to recuse is 7 pages. The response is 62. I'll just leave it at that. So that is on the merits. Here's the thing that really, really, really makes me angry. Justice Protasiewicz has made clear during her campaign and to this day that if the Democratic Party of Wisconsin or Democrats from the legislature appear before her, she will recuse herself because she received a lot of money from Democratic causes and specifically the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Wait a minute. What happened? Lo now, in June of 2017, when conservatives had control of the Supreme Court, could it be that a bipartisan group of 54 judges filed a petition with the Supreme Court to try to require the Supreme Court to adopt recusal rules that would require justices to step down from cases when their election donors appeared before them? Now, that would seem to me to be incredibly low-hanging fruit, would it not? Hey, you gave me a bunch of money so that I could be here judging your case. Maybe I shouldn't be the one that's doing it. So with due respect to Assembly Leader Voss, your analogy's crap. And what I'm saying actually matters, and it should matter to Republicans and liberals and Democrats alike, that if the person that seeded money to your campaign appears before you as a party, of course you recuse. Guess what the conservative bloc did in June of 2017? Every single conservative on the Wisconsin Supreme Court rejected that petition to adopt that recusal rule. Stop talking to me about recusals when you won't adopt the most basic common sense rule. And you're lying to people about this. Sick. Also in 2017, guess what the conservative bloc also did? You don't talk about transparency and accountability, especially if you don't have clear recusal rules. You know, it'd be really important for the public to have access to certain portions of court deliberations and how the court determines how it's going to function, those sorts of things, which before April of 2017, those things were open to the public because they were broadcast on Wisconsin Eye. Guess what happened in 2017? Oh, did the conservatives on the Wisconsin Supreme Court vote to take all of that off of Wisconsin Eye and make all those meetings private? Oh, yes, they did. So stop with the lies of omission, the mischaracterization of history and facts, because it's sick and wrong. Let me go further, because there's more here. If that wasn't enough to slam that door shut to show you that that is garbage, nonsense, there's even more. In 2012, Justice Gableman. Oh, wait. Anya, have we heard this guy's name before?
Gableman? I think so.
Gableman. Let me flip through my memory Rolodex. Is this the guy that was appearing on stages with Mike Lindell, the Pillow Man?
Could it be?
Is this the guy that wasted over $1 million of taxpayer money?
Couldn't be.
Refused to comply with Wisconsin's public records law and make public the records that us taxpayers paid him $1 million to investigate that's never come up with one scintilla of evidence that the election outcome in Wisconsin was unreliable. That Michael Gableman?
Couldn't be.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Oh, by the way, he was the one that led the little effort in 2017 to take all of their meetings offline. That was Michael Gableman. There's a really interesting, because like the internet is a wonderful, wonderful thing. If you want to go down the rabbit hole, it's there. You can actually see him in that meeting talking down his fellow female justices.
Crazy he wouldn't want that online. Interesting.
Weird, isn't it?
Weird.
In 2012, Michael Gableman refused to recuse himself from the Act 10 litigation, despite the fact that the Act 10 litigation involved the Republican legislature and the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and guess who gave him a whole crap load of money?
Could it be the Republican Party?
What? Who knew?
What?
So, again, issue number two. You lie by omission, you fail to remember history, and your argument is also substantively crap. So I'm done with that. So we get ourselves to issue number three. And that is these threats from Assembly Leader Voss to impeach Justice Protasiewicz. So I want to start with what Wisconsin law says about this, which is basically this. A justice shall not basically preside or hear cases until they're acquitted of an impeachment. And just like all of us remember from the Donald Trump two impeachments, impeachment occurs in the House here in Wisconsin in the Assembly, and then the trial is had in the Senate. So it is totally conceivable that if the Assembly wished to impeach Justice Janet, they could do so, and then the Republican-controlled Senate would simply not hold a hearing. Because if they're willing to lie about all of this and forget history, why not do that then, too? Because all of it is on the table, right? Like, the gerrymandering cases for all of the marbles. Because if we have fair maps where everybody's vote counts more or less the same, Republicans will no longer have a vice grip over the Wisconsin legislature. So this is for all the marbles. So they're going to go there. That is my prediction here on Civic Media. Robin Voss will lead the impeachment eventually of Janet Protasiewicz. And they will stall it in the Senate. But here's what, everybody. This is all sound and fury signifying nothing. Because guess what? She could simply resign. And guess what Governor Evers could do? Reappoint her. Or she could resign and Governor Evers could reappoint some other left-leaning justice. So what is all of this about? This is all about smokescreen and baloney and more baloney and more baloney and lies of omission and forgetting history. It is sickening, and we all deserve better. Apparently, no one in the GOP can accept that elections have results. Did Democrats like it when the hanging chads gave the White House to George W. Bush? No. But did Al Gore stand up and enable the peaceful transfer of power? Of course he did. Did Hillary Clinton do the same in 2016? Of course she did. The same cannot be said for the GOP in the state of Wisconsin. Or, of course, nationwide. And I love this. This intellectual luminary, Ron Johnson, has found fit to comment on what's going on in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Here's what a U.S. senator, you know, part of the federal government, should really not be meddling in. The state Supreme Court. So you might ask yourself, why is it exactly that Senator Johnson might find it in his bailiwick to be commenting on such things? Might it be that he also said, nearly at the same time he publicly commented on these Supreme Court issues, that obviously none of Wisconsin's fake electors should ever be charged with a crime? Because you know what might happen here in the state of Wisconsin? Ron Johnson might be charged under state laws for his role in the insurrection and his knowing passing of the slate of fake electors or attempt to do so.
61 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
You're listening to a previously recorded edition of The Maggie Dawn Show. Enjoy.
For this.
I just want to have a good night. I just want to have a good night. Hold up. If you don't know, now you know. If you broke, then you gotta let him go. You could have anybody, any money, mo. Cause when you a boss, you could do what you want. Yeah, cause girls is players too. Yeah, yeah, cause girls is players too. Keep it playing, baby.
Go ahead, Janet. You a player too. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Join us. What's your reaction to being lied to, gaslit, and just generally treated as if you don't know squat by the conservative bloc on the Supreme Court and Robin Voss, Ron Johnson, and a lot of them? A couple of other comments to respond to some of the questions we've seen on the text line. What happens with this motion to recuse? Well, if the gosh darn Republicans would have adopted some rules when they could, then there would be rules and they would apply to everybody. And it wouldn't be a matter of like, what's the procedure for doing this or what court hears it? As it stands, only the justice herself can make that recusal decision. That's it. Full stop. That's why the discussion about impeachment is going on. This is going to be a really interesting 12 months. Now let's go to the phone lines if you want to join this discussion. 844-967-2789. If you have questions, if I didn't explain anything clearly, let me know, because I don't think these three issues are close calls at all. Dick from Cottage Grove, you are on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, sir?
I was told that because the districting for the U.S. House representation wasn't enough gerrymandered, that it would not be included in this lawsuit. Can you explain to me how we can still have 50-50 Democratic versus Republican votes and have one-third of the total representation to the, or to actually 25% of the representation in the House, and it not be gerrymandered?
Yeah, no, I can't, Dick, and isn't that the problem, sir? Right? I don't care which way you try to approach this math. It doesn't work. And here's what else. Gerrymandering is bad for conservatives, too. If you are an old school Republican, if you believe in Grover Norquist, like drown, you know, let's drown government in the bathtub. Less taxes, less regulation, less spending. If you are an old school conservative, I hear you. That's a perspective. As an economist, I don't think that works. Trickle-down economics is garbage. But yeah, I've talked to plenty of small business owners that tell me that regulations crush them. Do I think the government should be taking an absolute axe to regulations that don't make any sense, that don't work anymore, that are outdated? Should government be held to task on efficiency and accountability every day? And should we always be doing that? Hell yes, I do. But here's what, when you gerrymander the heck out of districts, what do you get? You get extremism. And extremism doesn't work well in American democracy. Democracies are designed for incremental change. But if you push because of gerrymandering everybody into these most extreme camps because they don't have to appeal to a wide cross-section of us, taxpayers, and middle-class working folks, then this is what we get. And it doesn't work for any of us. It doesn't work for the small business owner. It doesn't work for the felon who spent his or her time. It doesn't work for anybody. It doesn't lead us to better immigration policy. It doesn't lead us to better foreign policy. It leads us to division and separation and dysfunction and hatred of one another. And I'm sick of it. And this is precisely the problem. So I ask us again, let's stand up and be counted. And that requires our votes to count, that the math maths. And by moving in this way that has greater justice, that allows our votes to be counted equally, I promise you, on the other side of this pain point in American democracy is a better way, where compromise, where listening to one another becomes part of what is required of government elected officials, because why? Their districts are purple. When neighbors start talking to one another again and showing up at town halls and agreeing on the values and the things that we hold most sacrosanct and that we so much more frequently agree upon than disagree, our government will function better. So shame on those that stand in the way of that, because that's the place that I want to live. Mark, you got like just a little bit of time, my friend. Tell us what you're thinking this afternoon. Has this been clear, first of all, Mark? I just want to be sure I'm getting it across.
As a bit of levity first, as your bright and tiny spark lights the traveler in the dark, though I know not what you are, twinkle, twinkle, little star. So you've kind of enlightened us a lot today, Maggie. The current maps are not contiguous or compact or in conformance to the other language in the statute that dictates how our legislative districts are supposed to be set up, so they are rigged. And pure and simple, by the language in our Constitution and state law, that's what she'll judge the law on. And shame on the Republicans. A true conservative would actually admit that.
Yep. Because this isn't about conservative or liberal. This is about giving everyone a fair shot at having their voice heard. And it should be deeply offensive to anyone who cares about this country and counts themselves a patriot, which I certainly do, to hear this sort of nonsense spewed again and again, to tolerate arguments that gerrymandering at this level is good for democracy, is simply contrary to common sense. Us in the legal profession, there's an adage when you do trial work, and it's that whatever argument you make to the jury, and you all are my jury, it must check with common sense. It must check with our shared lived experiences. And my offer to you today, my closing argument to you today, is that what the GOP says doesn't check. It doesn't meet the sniff test. It doesn't match common sense. And that by engaging in these fictions and these lies, that we all have become much worse off if you are a middle-class, hard-working person. Whether you're gay or straight, black or white, male or female, trans or cis, it doesn't matter because it's not working for us. And it's high time we see our commonalities as opposed to our differences and come together to stand behind those elected officials and those justices in our state Supreme Court that believe that we all deserve better and that our votes and voices must all be equally heard. I'm Maggie Dawn. Thank you so much for tuning in.